Okay, thank you. I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in us. I thank you, Father, for a mind of Christ. And I thank you, Father, that everybody here is going to be blessed tonight by the things that we talk about, because you're leading this whole troop here. And I praise you and I thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing down the evil people that have been running this world, like the Muslims over in Iran. Lord, I thank you for giving those people some relief from that garbage. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that tonight we're going to be opening up some things that a lot of people out there don't even realize their dominion and their authority in Christ. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. All that you're going to accomplish tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request or would like to pray? Okay. Well, go ahead, Julie.
I just asked you all to agree with me. My sister had put her cat down today. She had him euthanized because he's been in a lot of pain, and she's like 15 years old, and it wasn't getting any better, and she didn't really know what else to do. She didn't want to suffer, watch him suffer anymore. But anyhow, she's kind of dealing with it a little bit at the cult. Father, I just lift up my sister Mary to you, and I pray blessings on her that you comfort her. Now, she's been expecting to do this. She's thought about it a lot. She's prayed about it a lot, and she believes this is the right thing to do. She doesn't have any regret about it. It's just hard to say goodbye, and she's having some difficulty with that. So thank you, Lord, for lifting her up, and you will give her a sweet little dream about where Finnegan is right now, her cat that she's had for such a long time, who gave her a lot of joy and a lot of comfort, especially when she was going through some difficult times. He really comforted her, and it was just who she needed at the time. And she treated him like her own children, and she really loves her cats. And I just pray blessings, Lord, that you will lighten this burden, and tomorrow will be she'll have an awesome just have an awesome day tomorrow. It was pretty hard today. So I lift her up and thank you for blessing her, God. I thank you, Lord. She has other cats that she cares for, but you get attached after 15, almost 15 years. That's a long time. So thank you, Lord, for taking care of my sister. In Jesus'
Yeah.
name.
Thank you, Lord, for you filling that emptiness in her heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay. Anyone else want to pray? Lord, I just want to thank you for the wonderful 2 days that I've had. And I thank you, Father, for being with me and filling me with your Holy Spirit in the times that we've had alone together. And I thank you, Father, that tonight's not going to be any exception, that everybody here is going to get filled and to overflowing. And I praise you and thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'd like to do tonight is go to Real Good News on page 199 and 200 and 201. These three pages are awesome as to who we are and what our position is in Christ and the things available to us. And I thank you for it, Lord, for helping us out tonight. What in the world? Is that a bottle? All right. Okay. I want everybody to go get your real good news book and we'll turn to page 199. I'm going to read it, some of it, and we'll talk about it. I know I didn't give anybody a heads up, but just a few, and I apologize for that, but I felt like it, I came across this yesterday, and I wanted to bring it forth and we'll talk about it. I'll give you all a chance to get it. Has anybody got any questions? While we're waiting on y'all to do that, a future broadcast, there's something else we would like to take a look at, and that was, dude, he may have to help me here, Daniel chapter 9. Is that it? I believe that's what it was. I'll find it here in a minute. So you can just make a note of this. That might have been in the email. Yeah, probably would. You remember what it was? 924, was that it? Who's that? Missy? You're in a different surrounding there, girl. You're in a palace there, girl. Okay. I was telling them, Missy, that we're going to look at Real Good News on page 199, which is Our Position in Christ, I believe is the name of it. All needs supplied in Christ. I'm sorry. All needs supplied in Christ. That's chapter 12, 15, whatever it is. 15. But I want to start on 199. But I wanted to get out here what we'd like to sometime in the future talk about also. I believe it's Daniel. I'll have to wait until Julie finds it.
Michael, did you want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
What I sent you, it was on Signal. I just was coming across this. I was in Daniel 9 yesterday, I think. Well, anyhow, I got through reading all that, and this Daniel has his long prayer, when he comes to the understanding of the end of the 70 years of decree in Jeremiah. And the angel of the Lord, appears to him and, tells him that his prayers have been heard and answered and all that. Well, anyhow, when I got to verse 24, it says, 70 weeks, it's Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks are decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish transgression and to make an ends of sin. To make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. And I'd studied the end times before I found UBM, and this was, Daniel, all the prophetic parts of Daniel and all that stuff. And we were talking about the timing of that and the 70 weeks that is, 70 and 7 are the same. And I was thinking at that time, one of the questions in my study was, that has all these things been fulfilled? Or what do they all have to be fulfilled yet? And all those things. And I was thinking at the time, I wasn't really, sure, but I really, you kind of have to break it down, all those questions or all those things, these things decreed upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And all these things, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, well, in Christ, by faith, it's all done. But some of them, when he came, he did finish it. So, and also my question and what I was thinking to Michael and put my thoughts out there is this something we can discuss, like what's been fulfilled, how much of this has been fulfilled already through Christ, and what all does that mean? Like, and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy, all these things. It's like, well, some of that I think is already done. That's what he came to do, and Jesus says it's finished. So that's where I was coming from on that. That was my
Okay.
thoughts.
All right. Just make a note of it, and we'll talk about it some other at another, probably the next one, if we get through with this tonight. Okay, on page 199 of Real Good News, in the chapter it says all needs supplied in Christ. David starts by saying this. He said, "I'm going to give you a little bit of foundation here, so we can know what we have in Christ Jesus and understand why Paul was so confident all our needs will be met." And he quotes Galatians 3 and 11. "Now that no man is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous shall live by faith." He goes on and says, "It pleases God that we learn to put our trust in Him and to walk into places where nobody else would go without their own supply." You know what? We don't need to bring our own supply. When Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them in Matthew 10 and 9, "Get you no gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, no wallet for your journey, neither two coats, nor shoes, nor staff, for the laborer is worthy of his food." Why did he send them out like that? It's because he wanted them to be people of faith. And he wanted them to know that they had the supply of the Lord. And he still does that today, folks. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13. "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law." And if you've ever read the law in Deuteronomy 28, you know that there's every form of lack and every form of evil that the curse there brings upon us. And yet we've been redeemed. And the Greek word for redeemed is exagorazo, and it means purchasing a slave with a view to his freedom. In other words, to buy out a slave in order to set him free from captivity. And every one of us has been a slave to sin, a slave to the curse, and the Lord has set us free. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, meaning the curse that comes upon people who disobey God's law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessings of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Notice that the blessing of Abraham is also in Christ Jesus. There are quite a few of those whom we loosely call Christians who don't walk in Christ Jesus. They don't walk by faith for God to give them the grace in the form of power to walk in obedience to Him. And they're not justified by faith. And because of this, they don't receive redemption from the curse of the blessing of Abraham, because they're not abiding in Christ Jesus. What's the blessing of Abraham? Genesis 24 and verse 1. "And Abraham was old and well stricken in age." And the Lord had blessed Abraham in, oh, let's see, stricken in age. "And the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Abraham was blessed in all things, and that's what we need, because wherever we go, the blessing of God will be upon us. And we won't be subject to the curses of this world. It matters not about the economy. It matters not about the judgments that are falling upon this world. We're under the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You see, we walk in heaven. We walk in the kingdom of heaven while we're on this earth, while the world walks in the world, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. David said, wow. The Spirit made a lot of promises, folks. This is not talking about just a promise of receiving the Spirit. It's also talking about the promise of the Spirit that were given to us through the blessing of Abraham. Then he goes on to explain. I'm going to stop in a minute. We'll talk about some stuff, but I want to get through this. He goes on to explain that the blessing of Abraham has never been made void. Galatians 3 and 15, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet when it hath been confirmed, no one maketh it void or added thereto. In other words, the covenant that God made with Abraham is still in effect today. But a lot of people don't know that. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What are these promises? Well, they are many, and here's one I'd like to point out to you that's very powerful. Romans 4, verse 13. This is powerful. For not through the law was the promise to Abraham or to his seed that he should be heir of the world. You get that? But through the righteousness of faith. Heir of the world, he said. This is awesome. Okay, now, did everybody understand what David was showing us here? We have an awesome promise in the Word of God that we are an heir of the world. Anything in the world we are heirs of. How? Through Christ in faith. Through Christ in faith. What does that mean? Well, if you got faith, you can do whatever the word says that you can do. You can be an heir of the world, anything in the world. Yeah, Julie.
Just a verse that came to my mind is in Psalm 24, where it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all them that dwell therein." And that's the world. And then the other thing that came to my mind, it was in the book of Esther, where the king said to Esther that, "What is your petition? What is your request? Even half my kingdom. It's yours. I'll give it to you." So I was thinking, that's being an heir and having all those benefits of the world, even half the kingdom. And Jesus came, and said, "It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
Amen. Hang on. Okay. Yes, absolutely. Do y'all see the extent of this the authority that God has given us the as heirs of the world, heirs of everything that we need through faith, through Christ, and in faith. Has anybody got any comments? Okay. It goes on and he says, you know, the Bible says all things are yours. Not just some, he says all. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 21. Wherefore let no one glory in men, for all things are yours. Verse 22, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Woo, glory to God. It also says we are joint heirs with Christ. Romans 8 and 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Here it is again. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. David goes on, he said, well, now let me see. What does Christ own? Oh my, somebody ought to be getting excited here, for goodness sake. What dominion was he given when he was resurrected? He was given dominion over all principalities, power, and all rulers in all the earth. All the earth. He was given dominion over all principalities, powers, and all rulers in all the earth. Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places. 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Can anybody picture in your mind what he's talking about here? That means if you're walking out in the woods and a bear comes up and scares you, all you got to say, I take dominion over you in the name of Jesus. Now you get back where you came from. And he has to obey you. That's I'm just throwing it out there. That's just what we have in Christ. If you're walking alone at night and a bunch of men come up on you and they want to steal your money or whatever, knock you in the head, can't do it if you know who you are in Christ. In the name of Jesus, I command you to get out of here. And they got to go. They have to obey if you have the faith in Christ. Let's see. Well, now let me see. What does Christ own? What dominion was he given when he was resurrected? He was given dominion over all principalities, powers, and all rulers in all the earth. Ain't nothing that you don't have authority over. Nothing. Not nothing. If you got cancer, you have authority over that cancer. If you have whatever, you have authority over it. Ephesians 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above, here it is, all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Ain't nothing coming up that you don't have authority over. Then why haven't we been exercising this authority? Does anybody want to offer a guess? I'm throwing this out there so we could get encouraged as to who we are in Christ. We're just, yeah, Julie, go ahead.
You asked why we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I think some of it is maybe lacking the faith that you can't. or maybe just not willing to step out in faith and try it, or even, you've just got doubt that you try it and you'll fail. I suppose there's all kinds of reasons,
Okay, well.
I know we as a group here, when we pray, we take authority. We do this. I'm not saying that we don't, because we do. We take authority over the wickedness, and
Absolutely.
we command healing, and we command, the oppression off of us, and whatever it is. As far as like me individually, I've asked for prayers of agreement. You guys agree with me about things. Like I said, that as long as I'm living here, none of my appliances are going to have any kind of major repairs. They're not going to break. They're not going to have to replace while I'm here. They can do whatever they want when they leave, when I leave, But so far, all that has come to pass. I haven't had any issues. There's been some things with my heater and that kind of thing. But even my washer, now I'm assuming it's as old as this building when they bought everything, that these are the ones I have are original. But it was leaking. Like when the cycle was over, it would be leaking. And Michael, you knew exactly what it was, some valve or whatever on my machine, and you commanded it to seal up. And it's only attempted to drip a couple other times, and I rebuked it and said, no, we prayed. It's like, you're healed. You're not going to drip anymore in the name of Jesus. And it stopped. But, so it's going on those places. And the examples that we have, that David has lived in the wilderness, and Michael, and all their testimonies and everyone else's testimonies, that, you step out in faith and you take authority over something like that. So
Amen.
why aren't we seeing more of it? I think we're going to.
I think we, well, it makes no difference what the answer to why we don't. I think it's not thinking. I believe that it's lack of faith, just like Julie said. Now, how do we get more faith? By reading these over and over and over and over again until you get it in your spirit to who you are in Christ. That's what I believe. That's what the Word of God says. Confess it all the time. Confess it. Who you are in Christ. What you are in Christ. What authority I have. That's how you get it. And be sin free. That's another way. Be sin free. Yeah, Ben, go ahead.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Another thing that sort of comes to my mind, like why this doesn't really happen as often as it should, is the church is very divided right now. It's very divided in very different places, like different doctrines, different words, different, and then there's wrong, and then so we're supposed to be one body. Like all called, chosen people, we're all supposed to be one body, and the body can't differ. And so, I'm not saying that like there's some people that don't know, there's people that are ignorant and all that. But the body's so divided right now. There's so many denominations and, so many different ways of speaking and, like whatever, but a lot of people don't even know about the word that we're talking about right now, about who we are in Christ. And so, I'm a pretty strong guy, but if my toe hurts, I lose a lot of strength. So, because all I'm thinking about is that hurt toe. And so, if my toe isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing, it makes me off balance. I can't lift as much, I can't run as fast, and I can't, perform at the optimal amount of strength. So imagine multiple parts of my body just not working the way it should, not turning the way it should. It affects the full body and corporate body of Christ about how we're supposed to walk and believe. Everyone's at where they're at, but we're going to come to a point where that one body, the one true body, is going to be thinking properly because they're going to be taught properly and led properly by the Spirit, and they're going to know what it means to be a child of God and a son of God. It's funny how this is kind of a conversation that we're talking about, because the Lord was like, you should learn what it means about the adoption. So I started looking up some adoption verses and what it means to be a child. And the verses in 1 John chapter 3 sort of led me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And we are. For this cause, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we children of God, and it is not yet manifested what we shall be. We know that if he shall be manifested, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Everyone that hath this hope on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Everyone that doeth sin doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And it goes on and on. But again, it's all about that one body, that true manifestation of Christ, 100% fruit. Whatever you have, you're walking in it 100% knowing. And that means that the full body is walking in what it's supposed to be. So we can only imagine, like, what will be capable for the true church when it's there and all these things are happening. And it's exciting, really, to think about. That's all I gotta say. It's just, absolutely. You know, you're walking in heavenly places. Really? Well, just believe it and we'll see it.
Amen. That's right. In Christ, we know who we are. I'm going to read this again in Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Christ has dominion over everything in this world and over that which is to come, and yet we are joint heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs. We have the same authority that he had, the same dominion that he had. We are joint heirs with Christ. Why? We are joint heirs with Christ because we're sons of God through faith. And notice, if the promise given to Abraham that he would be heir of the world sounds very similar to what we've been promised of being joint heirs with Christ, that's because it is a type and a shadow of what we've been promised in the New Testament. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Some of these verses are awesome verses, if not all of them, been promised in the New Testament. Romans 4 and 16, for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed. That's us. We're the seed. We're going up. So our access to the promise that's been given to us of being a joint heir with Christ and the promise of Abraham of being heir of the world is through faith. And like we said a while ago, how do you get faith for the things that you need? Go in, look up the verses that that give you the promises, and learn them. Put them in your spirit. Get them in your spirit. And you do that by reading them over and over and believing it. And believing it. And then you could go to the devil and say, devil, it says right here in the word that I have dominion and authority over you. You get gone right now in Jesus' name. You could do it. So our access to the promise that's been given to us of being a joint heir with Christ and the promise of Abraham being an heir of the world is through faith. Do you understand who we are in Christ? Golly. Not, I'm going to keep reading on in 4:16, Romans 4:16. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Faith is our access to the promise, David says, and I believe it. Faith is our access to our dominion, our authority, all of the promises that he's given us. And right now, he's already told us that everything that we need is amounts to what faith we have in that promise. Glory be to God. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham were the promises spoken, and to his seed. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is what? Christ. And now we see what he says in Galatians 3, verse 14, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus. Because there's no blessing of Abraham outside of Christ Jesus. For he is the seed who was to inherit the promise. And he saith not unto seeds of many, but as of one to the seed which is Christ. So Christ Jesus is the only one who inherits the promise of the Spirit. And the only way we can inherit it, folks, David keeps saying, is to abide in him, just like we read earlier. So if we abide in Christ, we have authority over the world, the things in the world, the things that might come against you. John says in 1 John 5 and 11, and the witness is this, that God gave unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath the life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. David goes on and says, some people make a very foolish mistake, thinking that God has given to them eternal life. They think they can live any way they want and still have this eternal life. But that's a lie of the devil. He's given unto us eternal life, but the life is in his Son. And there's no sin in him. Anybody got any questions at this point? Or any answers or any comments? Is anybody getting anything out of this? Oh, yeah. Well, at least one is. Praise God. Okay. 1 John 3 and 5. Okay, Patrick. Bless you, brother. And if you sin willfully after you know what the truth is, you have no sacrifice, he said. Wait a minute, did I miss something? Yeah. There's no sin in Christ. 1 John 3 and 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away sins. And in him, in Christ, is no sin. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but one that hath been in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. James 4:17. To him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's a sin. And if you sin willfully after you know what the truth is, you don't have a sacrifice. Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, for us, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversary. David says, listen carefully and tremble, you who are walking after your stubborn, self-willed ways. You think that you have these blessings, but you don't. Unless you are a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, there is no promise to you of eternal life or for any of God's provisions. So repent and turn away from your stubborn self-will. Praise be to God. I really wanted to talk about what we have in Christ. Yeah, go ahead, Anna.
Go ahead, Michael.
Well, the only thing I wanted to get across to everybody is who they are in Christ. You are God. You have God living inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. You don't need to shout to heaven to get God's attention. He's right there with you. All you got to do is say, Jesus, you going to go walking with me today? I'm right here, Michael. That's what he tells me. I'm right here, Michael. I'm ahead of you. And just believe it. I believe the Lord is showing us some things that we've seen before, but we haven't believed them. That's what I think. I think that we say, okay, I understand that, but how do I access it? You access it by getting it in your spirit, getting the word of God in your spirit, getting talking to Jesus, talking to the Lord, asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me to understand what all of this means. This is awesome stuff, Lord. If it's not real, I need to know it. But if it is real, I want to see it happen. Glory to God. All right, I see you, ladies. All right. Yep. But anyway, if we can get a hold of these two pages right here in our life, I'm going to tell you something. Revival would break out wherever you go. I guarantee you. Revival would break out. I want revival. I want revival. Let's see revival. You're the one that has to make it. Every revival that I've ever read about, and I've read about a bunch of them, were brought in by people's prayers and believing that God was going to do it. We can shake the world for Christ because of who we are in Christ. He lives inside of me. He lives inside of you, everybody here, if you're a child of God. And if he lives inside of you, you have the same authority and dominion that he has. The very same. That's who we are in Christ. We are in Christ. We walk with him. We talk with him. We act like him. And the light that shines out from us, the whole world should be able to see. We ought to be shining like a big, powered light everywhere we go. What's wrong with you, lady? How come you bent over double there? Do you believe God can heal you? Don't make no never mind. I'm just going to put my hands on you. God's going to heal you. In Jesus' name, be healed. Straighten up there, lady, in the name of Jesus, and be healed. Guess what's going to happen? Because of who you are in Christ, your faith will bring her up straight as an arrow. She'll yank up and she'll jump up. Say, oh my goodness, it's gone. You know who did that? That was Jesus. I didn't have nothing to do with it. It was Jesus. Do you know Jesus? Well, let me tell you about my Jesus. And then you've got a revival started right there because she understood and saw the signs and the wonders that he is projecting through us to them. That's who we are in Christ. I look just like Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I look just like, and you women do too. You look just like Jesus. Now, we ain't talking about no stupid stuff here either. I'm talking about who we are in Christ. This is who we are. Yeah, it must be Angelica. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
I just wanted to, about the question you asked earlier, I thought maybe I'd share a little something.
Okay.
You can crack the whip if I get out of line, okay?
don't
teaching. Yeah.
think that I won't either. We done been
Okay,
taught
good.
about that, hadn't we?
So I guess I was thinking about, Missy and I were talking about it, but I was thinking about the question that you asked about why we're not necessarily walking in that. And I was thinking about myself, and what came to me was like, doing the first works, because I've told many times about my experience when I first came to the Lord, how I experienced rivers of living water in like for 3.5 years, open heavens, and like praising day and night, not stop, and even in my sleep, and I would just speak my whole day into being, and when I spoke, it was like done, and I knew it was done, and I had that really strong faith. And I was thinking about, like, I know there's an anointing coming, when the man child comes and all of that, but I was thinking about how my lack of doing that, like at that time, the only thing that was important to me was spending time with the Lord. The only thing that was important to me was being in prayer and praying without ceasing and seeking the Lord and just being before Him. My only focus was Him. And I think that was just it. It's like really simple thing. But instead of kind of like the way I have been and, just kind of living in my earthly sense, kind of focused on the fleshly things that I have to do or whatever, and kind of being deceived into thinking that's more important, to kind of have it together in my natural day-to-day versus my spiritual day-to-day. And how I, what came to my mind was like Brother Lawrence, that book, Brother Lawrence.
Yeah.
Well, how he, you know, he was just, he just worked in the kitchen. He didn't have any mighty ministry or anything, but yet all these people came to him, because he did one thing. He just went before the Lord day and night, and he would not break communication with the Lord. And that's how it was for me. And that's where I believe that anointing and that power and that faith stems from. And so I just, I repent because I feel like as much as I want to put God first, it's not the first thing on my mind. But when I would wake up, He was the first thing on my mind, and He was on my mind all day long. My mind would never leave from Him at that time. And I would go to bed thinking on Him. I would think on Him in my sleep, and it just never stopped. And it was just really God's grace to do that. And I think we could, I definitely want to ask the Lord to do that for me in my life again. But that's really where the anointing for me to experience those greater things, where I could just have faith for the impossible, and I just never doubted God that He could do anything. And I would speak my whole day into being, and it would turn out just the way I spoke it. And that's where I feel like that greater authority, dominion, power, faith comes from. And it's really just doing, our spiritual duty as first over our natural duty, I guess, is what I think about when I'm thinking about my own situation or whatever. But that's what came to me.
Amen. I can relate to that because when I first started out, I had the same thing. And the power of God would just, people would get healed. Wherever we went, people would get healed, delivered, and set free because we spent time with God. I'd fast for 3 days a week. Not that you have to, but that's what I did. Fast and pray during the week. And on the weekends, we'd go out and God would heal the people that we prayed for. And that's because we spent time with Him. And that is essential in a man's and woman's walk with God, spending time with Him. That's good. Thank you for reminding me of what happened. Jesus' name. Go ahead, Anna.
I wanted to say a couple things about your question about what hinders us, and but also something I've been doing more recently, and it makes a huge difference in my day, is I just kind of in the morning I just spend a little time meditating on who I am in Christ and imagining myself as Christ. And I obviously it'll be different for other people, but for me it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Like, I have the mind of Christ, I have the patience of Christ. It doesn't matter. I'm going out there to mother my children as Christ would mother them. If three kids are crying at the same time and one of them's on the ground throwing a fit, like, I'm just responding so patiently because I'm just Christ, it's Christ in me. He's flowing through me. Everything's gonna, just, and I just think in that regard, I'm so patient and I'm so loving because Christ is in me. Like the old is completely dead. And I just, when I do that and I remember to do that in the morning, it really makes a difference because it reminds me as soon as something comes up, I think, oh yeah, wait a second. Nope, this is Christ. Christ, I'm going to yield to Christ's response right now. And obviously other people have different trials, but that has really made a difference. But I think for me, probably two of my biggest hindrances of why I don't take more authority is fear of man. Because if you don't get an immediate manifestation, it's going to become apparent. And some people, not here locally, of course, I'm pretty insulated, I guess, compared to others, but sometimes people are become aware of it. And sometimes it even feels like they're thinking you're petty to believe for such minor things. Like, why don't you just fix it? Like, just do something. Like, just do something about it. Like, why are you like, this is ridiculous. I've encountered that. So that's fear of man. And the other thing is, probably I shouldn't be doing this. This is both of these are confession, but I tend to kind of count the cost in my head of, okay, if this doesn't happen immediately, am I willing to follow through on my faith until it does? And sometimes I think, oh no, that would be too hard of a trial. I don't want to do that, so I don't even start because I think, oh, I don't want to do something I'm not going to stick with and bring dishonor to the Lord. And I probably shouldn't be doing that because I should be believing that it's going to happen when I pray. But that's a hindrance to me is sometimes thinking, okay, if this doesn't happen right away, am I willing? Say it's like your sink is leaking. Okay, it's like, okay, am I willing to put that bowl under there and deal with and empty that out every day? Like, am I willing to deal with that? And sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to deal with that, which is obviously not good. Then that's a hindrance for me. So, thank you, Lord, for deliverance.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, the thing that we have to remember is let me just give you some examples. When I would pray for people, when I was out on the streets, when I would pray for people, I found this out that sometimes people would get healed right away, a lot of time. Some would get healed within an hour, some would get healed within a day, and a lot of them wouldn't get healed for 3 days, but you just kept on with your faith. You're healed. You're healed. You're healed. And it would come every time, every time, not just once or twice or here and there. It was every time. Well, most of the time, it was instantaneous, but there were some times, whatever the reason, I don't know, doesn't make any difference. But as long as you held your faith, you knew that that person was healed. They come back to you, well, I'm not healed yet. Yes, you are. Because the Word of God says it. I don't care what you're looking at. It makes no difference. That might be a fact, but it ain't the truth. It's not the truth. The truth is what God said. God said, by His stripes you're healed. And you go with that. You see, hang on to it, and they'll be healed. Guarantee it. It works every time. Praise God. Okay, anything else? I'm telling you, God wants us to understand who we are. We are men and women of Christ. And Christ is, we are part of Christ's body. We are heirs of the kingdom. And when you're an heir of the kingdom, you have access to everything he had access to. Just like Anna was talking about, we are Christ in the body, and we are to go out there and shine the light. And if you're dealing with something personally, just go to the Word and say, "Devil, here's what the Word says. I don't care what you tried to put on me; it don't make any difference whatsoever. By His stripes, I am healed." You understand what I'm talking about, devil? That means you gotta go. Because I ain't putting up with your nonsense anymore. Because God said I'm healed. And you just keep it up. Keep it up. Remember the lady that went 5 hours? that Kenneth Hagin talked about. She went home. She found out what faith was and how she was supposed to tell the devil, "Nope, I'm him. You can't look at what your flesh says. You got to look at what the Word of God said." And he told her that, and she believed it. She went home and just stood there and said, "Devil, you see what this word says? Bless God, I'm healed." And she kept on. She kept on. She did it for 5 hours straight. Got healed. Brand new Christian. Hagin talks about that. But it's something that we have to be, as David said, we have to be dogmatic in our faith. Faith to believe that God has healed us. And sometimes that's hard for people that have been dealing with stuff for years. But I'm finding out that God's not a liar. He is not a liar. And if he's not a liar, then that devil's been lying to me all this time, hadn't he? So he's got to go. That devil's got to go. All right, anybody else? Hey, Andrew, who are you in Christ? You got on mute. I can't hear you, brother.
I'm a child of God and becoming more and more a big heart of God. By His grace, He's maturing me. So you get older and older as you go on in the Word. I was just looking for the scripture verse like I spoke last time in 2 Timothy 3:16. So you've got to put that 3:16 with the other 3:16 in John. So there's a lot of good 3:16s. Ephesians 3:16 is a really good one too. So what is, a lot of different translations have a different word here, because it says every scripture is God breathed. Now we know that God lives in us because he says there, for what agreement hath God's sanctuary with idols? Know ye not that you are the sanctuary of God? And God saith that? And if he says it, he's almost bracketing that, because he says, "And God saith that." And then, and down further, in another part of scripture, in the same verse, it says, "Thus saith the Lord God Almighty." So it's bracketing what God is saying. All scripture, every single word of God you're reading in here, all the ones Michael quoted and everyone else quoted in here is God breathed.
Amen.
And that's the breath of God. That's the spirit of God. And we partake of that name too, because that's our baptism. And we're in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's God breathed and it's profitable for teaching. Now I'm struggling myself, teaching. There you go. These words teach. Did you not get promises and reproof and correction and discipline? Discipline. A lot of people need discipline, which is in righteousness. Now, that's the whole thing he wants to give you anyway. He wants to make you him who knew no sin. He made sin. God made Jesus sin on our behalf. And he was beaten so badly, as it says in Isaiah 52, 14, he looked like a hunk of meat. You didn't even recognize him as a human being. I know that movie there, Passion of Christ, they did good makeup, but I think it was worse than that. And I'm not just, his form was so disfigured, he barely looked like a man, that the man, and of course, but here we attain this righteousness because God had to take his son. and make him all the sins of the world. That's why he had to look so bad. That he made him sin on our behalf, that we would be made righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The most quoted verse for righteousness is the last one in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here it's saying discipline which is in righteousness. Now who's making this? Why does it not say that it's already done or it is finished? That the man of God be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. Every good word makes every good work. And every good word is actually God breathed. Jesus breathed. God breathes. They're alive. The Holy Spirit is holy. He's got a name too, and he's everywhere. So the Holy Spirit is which coming forth out of the Father. If you're dealing with spirits that are dark, they can take you wherever they want to if God wasn't everywhere. And the Holy Spirit was, I was told the Holy Spirit's in hell. It's not hurting them. Because you're dealing with these devil, and let's not forget about our verse that we all like about the authority verse, in Luke. It says, I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing in no wise shall hurt you. But in this rejoice not that those spirits that are the bad ones, that you have authority of, but rejoice that your name is written in the heavens, and that in the heavens is God the Father. The name you're baptized into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we rejoice that our names are written in the heavens. And this name is the nature, character, and authority. It's like a new life inside you, within you. You're not within any man's word or even God's law. You're within a new life of Christ. And the way we obey God is because of love. And that love is obedience. Because to fulfill the law, you need love. And so every single verse, every single word that you might even meditate on, like peace, the nine fruits of the Spirit in Galatia. He's telling you it's spirit, but when it's written there, it's spirit and it's God breathed to you. So don't know why we seem to be kind of shy. I don't know. We're shy not to do this, or maybe we're thinking, well, if it doesn't happen, they're going to laugh at me, or, well, that's okay. They mocked Jesus while he was dying on the cross for them, which is kind of a sad thing. Anyway, praise and glory to God. Let's see
Amen.
if I can figure this thing out.
Amen. I remember this has been a few years ago that we prayed for somebody. David and I prayed for somebody. And you know how you forget sometimes things that you've prayed before and you just walk away and you know it's done. It just hadn't manifested yet. Well, this person needed prayer and had a demonic entity that was messing with him. And we prayed. We commanded that thing to come out. And it didn't quit manifesting. It just kept manifesting. And so we do it again. In the name of Jesus, you listen to me, devil. You come out. You come out right now. Right now. Right now. You just come out. Don't you mess around either. Come on out. We did that for about 15, 20 minutes. David finally said, wait a minute, wait a minute. We commanded that thing to come out, then he's got to come out whether we're here or not. It was late at night. And so We decided, okay, we're going to pray one more time. In the name of Jesus, we command you by the power and the stripes of Jesus to come out of them. And you don't have any other recourse now. Thank you, Lord. It's done. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. It's done. Got up, walked out the door, got down the steps off the porch. They come running out. It's gone. It's gone. Praise God. It's gone. You got to just believe that it's done. That's all you got to do. It doesn't make any difference what you're looking right in front of you. You just have to believe that it's done. And that taught me, and I knew this. We all know this thing, but sometimes we like to just get in there and say a lot of things and hope that something happens real quick. When in fact, it already has started to happen once you start commanding and demanding that devil to leave. It's got to go. On healing or anything else, as far as that goes, money's the same way. Remember what George, who's a George Mueller? Has everybody read the story of George Mueller? You know, he wouldn't tell anybody. He would not tell anybody what his needs were, but he kept it logged in his log. I need this amount of money for this, Lord. I'm just asking you for it. And I'm not going to, I'm just going to believe that you're going to furnish it. I don't know how many buildings he built over there in Britain by doing that, and the Lord would furnish some money supernaturally through people. He would move on them to send the money to him, and he would get the job done because he believed. He believed implicitly that God was going to provide. So if you get in a tight, just say, God, you know my needs. I thank you for providing it. It might show up as $8,000 under your mattress. It might show as $500 in your billfold. It might show when somebody came up and gave you the amount of money that you needed, that they had no idea that you needed. Like what happened to Lake when he went over to South Africa those many times. But it's going to happen if you just believe that God lives inside of you and that you're walking in his path. And like Angelica was talking about when she first came to Christ, first 3 years, she first thing on her mind was Jesus. First thing on her she did every day was pray. That's what we ought to be doing. Thank you, Lord. You ought to be having that personal relationship, right, Debbie, with the Lord, with Jesus, and establish that relationship with him, that you know his voice. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm going to believe tonight when I pray that God's going to do to everyone on the outreach that listen that he did to us the other night. And that is anoint you with the overcoming power to believe that you will defeat the things that have hindered your walk with Christ. Amen. We'll do it later. I hadn't forgotten it. I won't forget that. All right. Missy or Angelica?
Are we reserving prayer for the end, or can we pray now, or were you
You
going
can
to
pray
talk
now.
about
Absolutely.
it? Okay. I just wanted to pray into it because I definitely have had a lot of battles that I feel have kept me from really approaching the throne of grace. But I know it's just God's grace for us to willing to do of his good pleasure and to choose him to put, to go before him. And not listen to any excuse or any reasoning whatsoever that, what the scripture says, we seek him first, everything else would be added. And that literally is true. Like if we just seek him first and put everything else on the back burner, we'll start to see miracles just in that one step of obedience. And I'd like to pray about that.
Absolutely.
So, Lord God, I just thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace on all of our lives, Lord. and our
Take it
failures,
easy, turn
Lord.
it about quarter by quarter,
And
turn it
I
easy,
ask that you please forgive me
cool it
for
easy, turn it about
not
quarter by
placing you
quarter,
first and
cool it easy.
foremost. That I ask you forgive me for the distractions and for excuses and reasonings and not being completely focused and given over to what you called me to do as your priest, Lord God, because you said in your word that we're priests, Lord God, and we have priestly duties, Lord God, to fulfill. And that hasn't been priority in my life. I, like Martha, Father God, I'm doing the works, but not sitting at your feet to be filled and strengthened and instructed and comforted and secure in who I am, completely enveloped in that I may go out and do those works, Lord. And so I just repent for being out or there. But I pray for myself and I pray for all of us, Lord, that you just give us the grace to do the first works again, Lord God, that we would just put you first, Father God, that we would forsake being the, watching the news and YouTube and everything else, even just our natural lives, Lord God. You said that we were bought with a price, Lord. And I think that in many ways we can forget that, Lord. We can get into thinking I'm living for you, but we're just doing the natural day-to-day things. And I just pray that you just give us the grace to be drawn unto you, Lord, to seek you first, Lord God, to put away everything else, every distraction, Lord, and all the reasonings that keep us from just doing that simple thing is just coming to you and being willing to wait before you, Lord. I pray that you give us a supernatural grace and desire to want to wait before you, to wait till we hear from you, Lord, to want to hear from heaven, Lord God, to receive direction, Lord, to be able to hear your voice sharply and keenly, Father God, for the times ahead, Father God, that our hearts not fail us for fear because of the things around us, Father God, because we didn't take that time now to spend with you in order to be strengthened, in order to be renewed, in order to be refreshed. And I ask you that you would put in us to will and to do of your good pleasure to do that, Father God, to press in beyond our flesh. I know our flesh tells us, oh, well, I've got this thing to do. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. Or I've got to keep my schedule. But in reality, you're just waiting for us to do the one thing. And I just ask you to please help me, help us, Father God, too. It's not a thing of works, Lord God. It's a thing of the heart. Just like in the natural, people want to spend time with their loved ones. Well, it's the same thing. And you're waiting for us to spend that extra time with you because in reality, our time is your time. No, none of it, the time is not ours. And the life is not ours. And it's your life and us, Lord. And we owe everything to you. And I just hope that you help us to do that, Father God, so that we can truly be anointed, so we can truly walk in those blessings and overcome the fears and the anxieties and unbelief in so many ways and actually be living for you and doing the works through that overflow, through that relationship, through that knowing that we know powerful faith and let that faith be extended to those that you would have us to reach. And we pray that you do a quick work in us, Father God. It doesn't have to take long. And I know the enemy sometimes tells me, oh, well, that's just going to take forever. God is just never going to say anything to you. You have to be there for days and whatever. But I know it's just the enemy, and I just pray that you help me to overcome that kind of thinking, and help me to enter into that, and bless and give us the confession of our lips, Father God, the fruit of our lips, Father God. Let it be a continual confession. Let us enter into praising and thanksgiving continually without ceasing, Lord God, and help us to be supernaturally connected in the spirit to you, Father God, that we hear you and we're sharp in the mind, Father God, in the mind of Christ, that we're sharp in our discernment, Father God, and that we're useful in the kingdom, Father God, and that we know that we're justified and we're right before you, and that the enemy not put us to fear because we cannot be shaken because of this thing that we by your grace choose to do in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 I thank you, Lord, that everybody here that's listening to us now and later, that you would just get down and repent from being distracted, from getting to the Lord, getting in the presence of the Lord every day, finding out and asking him to guide your day for you. And I praise you for that. Everything that Angelica prayed, Lord, I ask and I pray for everybody here in the name of Jesus. And Father, I repent of the same thing, being distracted. Like she said, well, I've got to get up and go do this first. I got to do that first. No, first thing we ought to do is get next to him. And I praise you for it, Father, for placing it in our hearts to do that every single day before we do anything else. And I praise you and I thank you that you're going to do it. And we're going to see a lively bunch in Jesus, in Christ. And I thank you for it, Father, for your giftings that would be so evident when we start doing that. And I praise you for that, Father, that the gifts would be in operation, tongues and interpretation of tongues every time we get together would come about, and we'd have words from you, knowledge from you, and all the things that you have given us, Lord, would be evident in our lives. And I praise you and I thank you for it, God. Glory be to God. And I praise you, Lord, that everything that you pray is being done in each and every one of us that wants it enough to do it. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for doing this for everybody that really wants to receive it. And those that want to receive it, Lord, I ask that you bless them in a mighty, mighty way tonight. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Anybody else want to pray? Repent or do anything. Yeah, go ahead, Julie.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your grace and the ability to be overcomers of these things of our flesh and to reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. I pray, God, for each and every one of us, Lord, to be diligent, to be sober, to be watchful, to be doers of your word, and just to be obedient to you, and help us all, Lord, to overcome our flesh in these areas, because it is our flesh, it is temptations, it is these things. Lord, you said in when you taught your disciples to pray, deliver us from temptation and from the evil one, Lord. So, Lord, you said we would have temptation, but we can ask you for help, Lord, to be delivered from these temptations, Lord. Thank you for doing that for each and every one of us, that we would be diligent to do these things, that you would put the want to in us, and that we would not make those excuses. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I receive that too. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Hey y'all. I just want to add on to all this in prayer. Lord, you are putting all these situations in our lives. You bring the good and you bring the bad. Father God, I just pray that every decision that we make, that you're with us, Father, that we always have your mind with us, that we have your will in us, Father, that when we make decisions, Father, you help us in our daily lives. Lord, Father God, I pray that you help me make the right decisions. There's good things that are happening in my life, and then there's also the not so good things, but we all know that you put it in front of us, Father, and we receive it, and that you're going to be with us in everything that we do, Father. It can be distracting, Father, and we do have responsibilities in life, and we know that you put it all there so that you can manifest yourself in us. And we just want to thank you for doing that, Father. Just help us keep your mind in it, Father, and that we're not self-willed in this. We don't want to work for ourselves, but we want to work for you, Father. Everything that happens in our life, whether it be good or bad, it's from you. And again, Father, we thank you. We thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, anybody else want to pray? This is a good time to do it. Go ahead, Angelica.
Lord, I just want to continue in the prayer. I just felt Michael was praying earlier, just an anointing, Lord, and I believe This is where you want our hearts to be, Lord. And this is your heart, Father God, in this moment. And so I just thank you, Lord. I ask you that you would restore the love that we first in Revelation, when it says to return to our first love. When we were just so in love with you, we were so amazed by you. We just magnified you in every way, and we weren't focused on the enemy and whatsoever. He was as small as an atom. He was nothing. And we just ask you to turn our eyes again, turn our heart again towards you, Lord God, and to see you as as our all in all, Lord God, and to restore that love and to give us hearts of flesh, Father God, and renew right spirits within us, Father God, that our only focus would be what your will is, just as Jesus did, Father God. He came to do the will of the Father. His meat was to do the will of the Father. And he had no mind of his own, and he had no will of his own. And he prayed continually before you, Lord God. And he knew in his heart that you would never leave him. And I just pray for that, Father God. I pray for that you for a restored love in my heart, in the hearts of all of our brethren, Lord God. And that we would love you with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, Lord God, in your mercy and your grace, Lord God. This is ours. This is part of our inheritance, that we should be able to approach the throne of grace, Lord God, and have love in our hearts, and that you would turn back our minds to see, Father God, who you are, for who you are, Lord. And I know the enemy has in many ways turned my mind back from thinking of you and skewing how you truly are and your true nature, Lord. And we desire to know your heart concerning the things that are just ahead of us. We desire to know the direction you have for us. We desire to know the ins and outs that you have for our family, that we may enter into prayer and faith for them, Lord. And I just pray that you just give us that grace, Father God, that you outpour your love upon us, Father God, that you enlarge our hearts and fill it with the love of God. And the word says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart, Lord, that you gave us the fullness of Christ, Lord. The fullness of Christ, Father God, can carry more love than we've ever understood. And I pray for myself specifically and anyone else that you would show me just how great your love is, not only for me, but for the elect of God, and that you would soften our hearts, Father God, and cause us to focus on those things that are important to you, Lord, and that we would live in those heavenly places continually and not come down, because we know that we have to be in those heavenly places, because when judgment comes, we can't be of the earth, Lord. We have to be of the heavenlies, and we have to be in those heavenly places with our mind stayed on thee, Father. And so I ask you to give us this grace to enter into this, that it be the most important thing to us, Lord, because we know there's an anointing coming, Lord, but we can enter in now because everything has already been done. And so we ask you to bless us to do that, Father God, that to help us to choose daily, continually, moment by moment. No, I'm going to focus on God. No, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. No, I'm going to spend time with God. No, I'm going to tuck away. I'm going to get in the secret place of the Most High. I'm going to get in my closet. By your mercy, by your grace, Father God, help us to choose the good, Father God. That's the grace that you gave us, Father God, and we ask you to do that for us, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank
Amen. Thank you,
you.
Father. I receive that too in Jesus' name. I want everything she's praying in Jesus' name. Does anybody else want that? Glory be to God. I do. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. I receive right now in Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? This is good, y'all. This is good. Anybody want to pray? Okay, Debbie. I think she's ignoring me. All right. Anyone else want to pray or want to say anything, comment on anything? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother. I was thinking about you a while ago.
I would tell you all about my experience a couple of last couple of weeks. What Michael was earlier talking about demons, what Michael and David was praying for me, and it was going away and it coming back. After all that now, it's because this, When the enemy come back, the Lord tests you to see if you believe the enemy has come back. And that, well, I struggled for quite a few months on that because I didn't recognize it. It's, oh, the devil is back, and now I'm gonna struggle again. It's because I didn't believe the first time I prayed. In other words, you're gone, so I'm just ignoring. But that was my first experience. But that the Lord tell me, show me the last couple of months. It's so awesome about it's the Lord is his. I literally slowed down in everything I do in my reading, my eating, my praying, my studying, everything I do. I slowed down quite a lot, and that's what the Lord showed me. And a couple of pages of confessions I do every day diligently. Then that reminds me of the Lord, the love he has for us, the promises, all that. That helps me quite a lot. Each and every day I do that. That quicken my memory. I focus more on the word. I slow down now. If I'm not slowing down, then I know the enemy is speaking because he likes to he strive in chaos and in quickness and in haste. He strive like that. If I'm slowing down, I give the Lord time to be in my life, speaking to me. And that has, I can't really tell you how awesome the Lord is the last couple of weeks in my life for doing this, all these things in my life for slowing everything down and just focus on his word. Thank you.
Amen. I'll tell you a miracle, Joe. Just now, I understood every word you said. Glory to God. That's a miracle. Praise be to God. Thank you,
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. That's exactly right, brother. That's exactly right. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, don't worry about it. It's gone. Just like Julie was talking about the washing machine. Tried to come back, and sometimes that devil will try to come back because he's trying to test your faith. And if he comes back, all you got to do is, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You're gone. You ain't coming back. This is not your house, and you got to leave. It's got to go. Praise God. I like what Ben has said over here. He says, "Thy kingdom come on earth, just like it is in heaven." That's the way we ought to be. Everywhere we go, got to be just like heaven. If there's somebody you see that needs help, give them help. Romans 8 and 11, I like that one too. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his spirit that dwells in you. That is so awesome. That is powerful, powerful message that we need to know. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead and set him up there at the right hand of the Father is the same power that resists, that resides in you. So if somebody comes up and shoots you in the head and tries to kill you, just raise yourself up from the dead. So, nope, this ain't gonna happen, Bubba. Now, y'all know I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he has given us that type of authority. Glory to God. Anybody else got something that they'd like to share as a testimony, as a prayer, or anything? Don't die on me now. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, just want to add a little thing here. What's most important for me was is doesn't matter what I'm thinking, how much I'm studying in the word, it has to be all coming from God. You can do nothing of your own. You have to wait. That patience is so much a part of my life now. Try to everything. Use patience. Ask the Lord. Wait for the Lord. That makes a difference. Thank you.
Amen. That's a good point there. Always give God the glory. You couldn't heal a gnat. You couldn't deliver a gnat unless Christ was involved in it. And he is. Praise God. It says Missy Pollock, raised hand. Go ahead. Polak or Pollock or something like that. Go ahead, Missy.
I
Or
thought I might
Angelica.
share the testimony. Of course, everyone that's local knows it, but concerning confession and faith and calling things that are not as though they were and everything being ours. When I was, the Lord was drawing me back in 2013, 2014, but I graduated college in 2015 and I got a bunch of loans, you know, to do that. And I was kind of, when I was not born again, very, how do you say, just ungodly concerning money. I was like, well, I don't really care if I paid it back or not, basically. I mean, I intended to because I thought I was going to be making all this money as a professional, whatever. But God had other plans. So I got a lot of debt. It was probably like over $50,000. But when everything after, like, I was a medical coder for a while and working, and but after, but all the interest and everything that they add to it was like it ended up being over 100 over $75,000. And I was like, God, I can't do that. My bachelor's degree didn't come in handy whatsoever, except for when it came time to homeschool Isaiah, they said there was a requirement for you to do high school. You had to have a bachelor's degree. So that's the only time it came in to that was useful for me. And I never intended that I didn't know that I was going to be ever homeschooling. So that was the only reason. And so I was like, Lord, you said that all my needs were supplied according to your riches and glory, and that while I was yet in my sins, Christ died for me. So if all my sins are all my needs are supplied, that is pre that is past, present, and future. And so, although I got loans in ignorance, like I believe that you supplied my needs then. And I just thank you that it's done. You're going to pay this off because it's impossible for me to pay. Even when I was working and I was making $200, $300 payments or $200-some-dollar payments, it would just never be possible. And so I wrote out a check. I had a check, and of course I didn't send it in or anything, but it was just like a faith check. And so I wrote, you know, Fed loan, and I wrote $75,000, and I put, you know, where you sign your name, I put Jesus paid. And so I had that, and I put the date on it, which was the date of my bachelor's degree, which was May 15th of 2015. So 5/5/15, which was like, you know, triple grace and rest. And so fast forward to this year, the Lord paid off all of that debt. It's completely gone. And but I had that, you know, that written down for, you know, as a reminder to myself. And it's just like amazing. It's like, you know, like but just a good testimony of how the Lord is a provider, and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, you know. And even in my ignorance, you know, if you use the word, you can use it for the past, you can use it for the present, you can use it for the future. And because, you know, we were called from before the foundation of the world, you know. So anyway, that's exciting to me anyway. So praise the Lord.
Absolutely. That's powerful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for getting rid of that humongous debt. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. That is a miracle of God. Whoo, my. And that don't mean go out there and get you a bunch of credit cards and think God's going to pay it all, because that ain't going to happen now. You know better than that now. Thank you, Jesus. but you know something? We've been praying for provisions, and God always, he always comes through for us. I'm telling you, we live hand to foot here, it seems like, but we don't live hand to foot because he always provides. Always provides. And it's been very, very instructive to me to watch God do this. Well, so-and-so needs this amount of money. Well, the Lord, there you go. We gotta, you know, thank you, Father, for providing. Bam, it'll show up. It always does. From somewhere you never heard about these people before. And it does. It just shows up. And it's very, very heartening to me to see that, because we're coming into a time that's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. God's going to, he's going to provide in ways you never thought he would, because you believe. You believe, well, Lord, I'm looking for my family to be saved. Well, guess what? It's already started working. He's already started working in their lives right now. Well, you just don't know about them. I've got this, I've got that. They're just doing, I'm telling you, they are a mess. Makes no difference. Doesn't make any difference. What you see in the flesh is might be the fact, but the truth of the matter is, what you pray and you believe that you have received, he shall give it to you. So it's coming. It's coming. That's all we have to do is just believe. Praise God. All right, anyone else? This is good, y'all. It helps us. It helps everybody. I had a Michelle call me the other day. She said, "Daddy, the dadgum dishwashers, I mean the washing machine, is leaking all over the floor." I said, "Well, let's pray." So we prayed, and she mopped it all up, got it all up, and she was, had already made it in her mind. It was an old washer. We bought it back in 2005, I think it was, 20 years old, 21 years old. And she had already made plans to go to her daughter-in-law's and wash her clothes. And she said, "No, I'm going to believe what God said. I'm going to go in there and wash these clothes in that washing machine. It's not going to leak one drop." Guess what happened? Did not leak one drop. She got through the whole washing thing, and that washing machine acted like a brand new washing machine, because that's what we pray. Praise God, you know. And she's seeing firsthand what it is to have faith. And she's just young in the kingdom. She just came back into the kingdom. Matter of fact, she strayed like all of us have at times, and came back after she, after we had some crisis in our family. And she, boy, I'm telling you, she's on fire for God now like you never saw, because of our prayers. Praise God. All right, anybody else? So he can fix washing machines, he can fix cars. I remember one time a guy called me, a friend of mine. He said, "Michael, I'm in trouble." I said, "I've got a job I've got to get to, and this van or this truck won't go into reverse." I said, "Put your hand on the dashboard, Bill." And he put his hand on that. I commanded that truck to back up for him. And I said, "Now, I'm going to hang up. It's going to work for you. Go ahead." He called back about 5 minutes later. He said, "It's working. It's working. It's working. Praise God, it's working." I said, "Yeah, it's going to work. God's word's true." And he learned that faith is just believing it. Keep believing until he sees it, you know. He was praising God, "Thank you, Lord, that my truck's healed." And that's the same way we've been doing. My truck is healed. Praise God. And it is. You do that. We do that as God's people. And you'll have testimony after testimony after testimony. You'll get in heaven. Let me tell you something about getting in heaven. Once you get in heaven, I'm going to call you over to my back porch, and we're going to talk about the testimonies we had from when we was on earth. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have a lot of good time. We're going to have a good time just talking about the testimony. You know what God did one time back in 2026? Glory to God, let me tell you what happened. I remember, Mike, you've told it 100 times. That's all right. I'm going to tell you 101. You know, and you'll have something to talk about. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but I'm just saying, you'll have a testimony. You'll be bearing the fruit of Christ in your life. Because he said, "As I am, you are." He said, "The things you've seen me do, you're going to do. Greater things," he said, "you're going to do." And if you believe that, you'll do them. Praise God. That's who we are in Christ. Right, Missy? Yeah, amen. All right, Debbie, go ahead, girl.
Well, since you're sharing testimony about God fixing things, I've never told this one. I thought about it before again, and I just kept forgetting to share it. When Sue was so sick, and I was doing her laundry here, I'd like turned out there was five loads I did, and but on the when I started the third load, water started coming up under the washer, out to my rug, over this spongy rug that I have there, and I thought, oh no! And I just right away came again. I didn't give it any more oh no thoughts. I just came against it. Like, you are not gonna be leaking. You're gonna stop leaking right now. I'm gonna wash all these clothes and no more leaks. And I wiped dried up all the water, and no more came after that. It didn't leak again. It never has since then. I just did that one time, but I put a stop to it. I just did not want to receive that. And it stopped leaking and it hasn't leaked again. So praise God. Amen.
Another good washing machine testimony, glory to God. They can't leak when you put God on it. Praise the Lord. Thank
Amen.
you, Lord, for your washing machine angel. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else got a good testimony they'd like to share that'll help the people with their faith? Yeah, Barbara, I was just thinking about you, girl.
Hi.
Hey.
It brings to my mind a memory. I have this freezer, and it's like really, really old. It's like going on, I think, 30 years, almost 30. And every time it wants to act up, I'll hear this strange noise. And I just put my hands on and I say, well, you're healed in the name of Jesus, and I command you to work. And a few times it tested me, and I just kept saying the same thing. Nope, you're healed, you're healed. And I wasn't letting it concern me. I wasn't worried about it or anything. And it's still kicking, it's still doing good. And I know that's the Lord keeping it. He's keeping all my appliances. Like Julie, I prayed the same thing. Lord, keep all my appliances, because I can't afford anything, and I don't want to buy anything new anyways, and another testimony, I'm waiting, you guys can all agree with me, is I have a leak in my sink, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I just pray you heal up this leak that's wherever it's coming from, which I think it's coming from a hose, but I just asked him to seal up the hose and heal it. And I believe it is done. I believe it's healed in the name of Jesus. So you guys can agree with me there too. And he's been keeping me also financially. I'm on a very fixed income, and a lot of good things had happened to me to where I didn't have to move. The Lord put on my landlord's hearts to lower my rent by a couple $100, and I knew that was the Lord, and just recently here, the rental management agency, they were tacking on some kind of fee because it was time for me to sign my new lease, and they're tacking on another $55 fee for something I don't want, and I told them I didn't want it, and I said, and the woman told me, I was talking on the phone with her, and the woman told me, she says, well, we can't waive that because if we do that for you, we'd have to do it for everybody. And I said, well, I don't know if I can afford to live here then. And I've been with my landlady here who lives out back. I said, I've been with her since she bought the house. I've been here all this time. This was before she hired this management. So I got off the phone, and right away I wanted to start being anxious. And the first thing came in my head is, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I said, okay, Lord. I said, I know this is a problem here. I said, maybe this is a test. I don't know. I said, but this is your problem. Now you gotta help me. I said, I don't have anyone to help me. And I said, thank you, Lord. Please help me. And I just said, thank you, Lord, for helping me. And I just let it go. And I said, well, either the Lord will, bring about funds where I could be able to afford it, or something. I just knew he was going to handle it. And So a couple days went by, and here just yesterday, the woman from the rental agency called me, and she was saying, "Well, I'm returning your call." You know, this was about something else about my lease. And so I started talking to her about the way to waive this fee. I says, it's called residence benefits or something. I don't know. It was something they just wanted to, you know, like for identity theft and to bring your credit score up and all this stuff, you know, that I didn't want and pest control and whatever. I said, I don't want any of that. I don't need it. And I says, can they? I said, I really can't afford it. Can't they waive it? And she checked it all out and she said, well, yes, we could waive it. You're on a fixed income. We could waive the whole thing. So I said, that's great. I said, yes, do that. You know, so I knew that was the Lord too. He just worked everything out, and I'm so happy that I didn't put myself in a tizzy. I didn't worry. And I just praise the Lord that he just showed himself faithful once again to me. So I just love the Lord and I just want to give him
Thank
praise.
you, Lord.
And that's it.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes we get in a tizzy, don't we?
Yeah, but I didn't this time. I you
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
first scripture in
Amen.
my mind is be anxious for nothing. And
That's
I was
right.
not to be anxious. Hey, but Lord, this is your problem. I know you can fix this somehow, some way. And it was just a matter of days I had to wait, and the good news came yesterday. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Yeah, Angelica.
Yeah, fill in the last few minutes or whatever, but I was trying to look for it because I have it written down specifically. But I love this testimony because, you know, faith calls the things that be not as though they were, and you can do that. Like what I so Isaiah, everyone, I think probably the local has heard this before, but probably not the people, everyone else. But Isaiah had gotten a ticket when he was. I think he was 17 or 18, and he still was having, he was going through that process of getting fully licensed. And so, like, he had got pulled over in, what's that place over there where Tellico Junction, I forget that, where that cafe is at. But anyway, on the way to Athens, and he got a ticket. And so, you know, he came home and he told me about it, and he said, Mom, the cop was lying. I wasn't going that fast, and whatever else. And I kind of just like, I said, okay. I said, you know, the Lord's gonna take care of this. And I thought to myself, well, he could be lying to me, but he could be telling the truth, and the Lord's the one that knows that, right? But I said, Lord, you know, if my son's lying to me, you know, while he's yet in his sins, Christ died for him. And if he isn't lying, then I just believe you're gonna give justice. But what I did was I literally wrote, like, so I wrote down, like, I had to think this through because there was like a lot of different things that this could affect. So I was like, okay, I wrote down the date, and basically the problem was like, okay, God, Isaiah is young, he doesn't have his license. This could affect my insurance. It can go up, you know, the money we would have to pay if he was found guilty. Whatever, right? And I was like, Lord, I really want, because my son was kind of straying from the Lord at that point and in a lot of unbelief. And so I was like, Lord, I really want Isaiah to see your hand of grace on him, even though if he was wrong, that you extend your grace and forgiveness to him and mercy. And if he was right, that you would justify him you know, give him grace on that end too. So I wrote down all these problems, and of course the solution was that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed. While he is yet in his sins, Christ died for him. You know, all the scripture that you would use, like, you know, if you were going for the court of law, court of heaven. And it's like, and I said, Lord, I'm not accepting, like, if you do this, then that means that we're not going to plead guilty when we go to court, and we're not accepting any fines or fees. I said, it's going to be completely 100% dismissed. Because Jesus paid the price to set us free. And if it's grace, it's grace, and there's no penalty. You took the penalty, right? And so I wrote all of this down, Like it was all done. This is what I was going to do no matter what. So day comes when we go to court, and Isaiah's like, and so like on the as soon as we get into court in Athens, into the drive, the driveway there, I see a license plate that says it has 555 on it, and I was like, oh, Lord's already speaking, like grace. And so I said, Isaiah, before we go in there, let's pray. And he's like, oh, mom, like he doesn't want to, he's just in a lot of unbelief and like whatever about it. And I said, and I, so I said, no, let's pray. And I said, so, and so we prayed, and I said, Lord, I just thank you that you're going to give grace to my son today, Lord God, that you're going to dismiss this, Father God, that we're not going to have to pay nothing, whatever. Like I prayed everything, me and my son. And this was more so, my heart was more so my son can remember like the grace that the Lord had for him because he was slipping away from the Lord. And I wanted him for it to be undeniable, And we get in there, we're waiting to get called back, and there's a magazine there. It's like a Tennessee magazine. So I open it, and there's like a scripture in there. You wouldn't even expect to find some scripture. I don't remember what scripture it was, but the Lord was encouraging me through this scripture. So anyway, we get called to the, where all the people who have court gets called. And so Isaiah's, there, and I'm kind of sitting separate from him. And so they call up different people, and then they finally call him up, and then the guy's talking to him, asking questions. And so it wasn't an actual judge this time. It was a lawyer that was standing in place of the judge, kind of just going through the motions of people would plead guilty or not guilty to see if they would get an additional court date or whatever. And so he's asking Isaiah all these questions, and I said, excuse me, sir, I said, I don't mean to interrupt, but I said, I'm his mother, he's underage, and I'm just answering that question for you because he doesn't know. And he goes, oh, you're underage? So they had put him in the wrong courtroom altogether because these were supposed to be adults. So he goes, okay, let me go back to talk to the judge. So he goes back, it takes a little, a few minutes, maybe 5, 10 minutes, and then he comes back and like, so he starts to talk to Isaiah. He's like, what do you plan on doing with yourself, young man? And whatever else, and Isaiah's telling him, and he's like, wow, you're gonna make more money than me, and whatever. And so he goes, you know what? Today I'm gonna give you grace. And he goes, we're gonna dismiss this ticket, and I just believe that you're gonna do well, and da da da, whatever he says to him. And in the courtroom, I'm like, Jesus, I'm like, praise the Lord, like. Whoever was there, I didn't care because I was like, I knew the Lord had answered. I'm sorry, I missed the part where, so at first, before all this, he asked them, oh, do you want to plead guilty or not? And I'm like, and Isaiah kind of looks at me, and I said, no. I said, no, because I had originally said, I said, no, Lord, I'm not even going to pay $50 just to get it dismissed. I'm not paying one penny because Jesus already paid it. And I'm not paying one penny. And so that happened before this, but then but it was like, who in the courtroom ever uses the word grace? And Isaiah knew he couldn't deny it, that it was God himself speaking through this man saying, I'm gonna give you grace. And I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. And of course later on he's like, well, I'm a first time offender, and they go easy on me. I said, no. I said, you can't deny that. I said, nobody says I'm going to give you grace in the court of law. Nobody. So, that was an awesome testimony about, and I, how I just thought it was amazing how you can write something down exactly how you want it to happen, and it will happen just as you have said, because that's what the word says, as thou hast said, be it unto you, basically.
Yeah.
That's it. Thanks for the
Amen.
word.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. That's awesome. Thank you, Father. Isaiah got a wake-up call, didn't he? Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. My. Anybody else got a testimony or would like to share something? Lord, I thank you that tonight's been a good night. We prayed it, and I thank you, Father, that people will be destined to seek you with all of their hearts, Lord, with all of their hearts every day, and to learn who you are and to listen for your voice. everywhere they go. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that this is going to bring about an awesome revival here shortly. And I thank you, Father, that everybody that's listening to us tonight is going to be ready. And I thank you for that, Father. We believe by faith that everybody who has listened to this broadcast tonight would bow down, ask the Lord for forgiveness for any distractions that kept you from coming to the Lord, as we have done, some here have done, if not all. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Father. If nothing else is done, that this would happen, that they would come to you on their knees and thank you for being their God and for being in their life to guide and direct the things that you want them to do to look like you and to bear the fruit of Christ in their life every day. And like Ben put in the chat while ago, to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth. And I praise you for that, Father, that everybody here is going to be doing that in the name of Jesus. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that people who have something that they've prayed for would get a renewed faith, that they would believe that the word of God is truth and that everything else might be fact, but truth can change facts every time. In Jesus' name, and I praise you, Father, for doing that for everybody here. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What about it? Has anybody got anything else they want to add? We got 2 minutes, I think. Lord, thank you for bringing Missy here. She's here in Tennessee, folks, as you can see. Oh my, what a pair. Good gracious sakes alive. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for a wonderful night tonight. Thank you for that. Everybody here that's prayed a prayer and it's already answered in Jesus' name. Y'all be blessed, you hear?